ಕಂಕಶಾನಾ ಕಾರಣಥೋಯಸಾಯಿ ಗರ್ಭೋದಶಾಯಿ ಚ ಅಯೋಧಿಸಾಯಿ ಶೇಷಶಯಸ್ಯಂ ಸಕಲಾ ಸನಿತ್ಯಾ ನಂದಾಕ್ಯ ರಾಮಾ ಶರಣಂ ಮಮಸ್ತು. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Shankarshan, Shesha, Naga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions.
Mayatate vyapti vaikuntha loke Purnaishwarye Sri Chaturvyuha Madhye Rupam Yasyo Bhati Shankarshanakyam Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhadye.
I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Shankarshan, in the midst of the Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Shankarsham, Prajumana, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation.
Maya Bharatajanda Sangashayanga Shethe Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madhye Yasyai Kamsa Sri Puman Adi Devas Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhadye.
I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karanodakshayi Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the mastery of the illusory energy, in the shelter of all the universes.
Yasyamsa Srila Garbhodashayi Yannabhi Abjam Lokasangatha Nalam Lokasrastu Sutika Dhamma Dhatus Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhadye.
I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu sprouts the lotus. That is the birthplace of Lord Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets.
Yasyang sayang samsa Paratmakakilam Koshta Vishnur Bhati Dudhadvishayi Shomi Bharatayat Kalasokyanantas Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhadye.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Chirodakshayi Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanaga is his further subpart.
Om Agyantimirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Asmai Sri Guruve Namaha.
All the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, I'd like to welcome special guest Bhakta David from Israel, who has come a very long way to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and the devotees. Very sincere devotee, has been serving in a very difficult place. Israel is the holiest place in the world, for the Jewish religion, the Christian religion, as well as the Islamic religion. And they all consider it their own, and they've been fighting over it for centuries. It's a place for the Western religions, is a very, very sacred place of pilgrimage, but socially it is a place of great sectarianism, fanaticism, terrorism, violence, imminent war. And to preach Sanatan Dharma, which includes the chanting of the names of Krishna and the worship of deities in a place like that, is extremely difficult and dangerous. And Bhakti David has been for years distributing Prabhupada's books, worshipping the holy deity of the Lord, and chanting the holy names in the streets of Israel. So let us welcome him to Radha Gopinath. Also our most grateful welcome to Malati Devi Mataji for returning to our temple. Let us welcome her. Today we are celebrating the most auspicious appearance of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. We have read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the wonderful description of the tattva, or the truths, of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He is the original expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that he is non-different than Lord Balaram. He is not an expansion of Balaram, but rather he is Balaram himself, with his full opulences, who is eternally manifested in this most merciful, compassionate of all personalities, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Dojandra Nandana Jai Sachishuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Krishna is the origin of all avatars. He is the origin of everything that exists. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. And in this spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet of the Vaikunthas, Krishna expands himself as Lord Balaram for the purpose of enjoying infinite pleasurable pastimes. Lord Balaram is the Lord who manifests to serve himself in every way. It is through Lord Balaram that the spiritual world is manifested. Or when it is eternal, we cannot say manifested, but it is actually the expansion of Balaram that is the spiritual world. And Balaram, in his great eagerness and enthusiasm to serve his own self in the form of Krishna, manifests himself as the Lord's shoes, as the Lord's bedstead, as the Lord's clothing, sometimes his jewelry, his umbrella, his paraphernalia. In this way, Balaram is the ultimate servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Srila Prabhupada said, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. One has a beautiful complexion like a dark rain cloud, and one has a beautiful complexion like a newly formed spring cloud, pure and white. But Balaram always takes the position of the servant of the Lord to assist the Lord in his transcendental pastimes. It is from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, that the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, Vasudeva, and Prajumana are manifested. It is from them that Narayana, Vaikuntha is manifested. And then there is a secondary Chaturvyuha, and from that Shankarshan, whose origin is Balaram himself, comes the original Purusha, responsible for the creation of material existence, Karanodakshayi Vishnu, who lies in the great Karana ocean in the state of Yoga Nidra, and as he is breathing, exhaling, all the universes come out from the pores of his body. As he inhales, all the universes go into his body and enter into an unmanifested state. From Karanodakshayi Vishnu comes Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who laves in the Garbhodak ocean, from whose navel sprouts a lotus on which the secondary creator, Lord Brahma, is born. From that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is manifested Kirodakshayi Vishnu, who lies within the Svetadvipa planet near Dhruvaloka in this material existence, a Vaikuntha planet within the material world. It is from Kshirodakshayi Vishnu that the demigods bow down and pray whenever they are in great distress, and through him the various incarnations come to this world to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. And that same Kshirodakshayi Vishnu enters in and between every atom within creation, and enters within the heart of every living entity who is situated in every species of life as the Paramatma or Supersoul, who is the witness of all of our words, all of our thoughts, and all of our actions. The constant companion, the eternal friend of every living entity is the Paramatma. And all of these great expansions and incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are all coming from Shankarshan Balaram, who is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Krishna appears in the age of Kali as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram appears as his older brother, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is called the original Guru because Guru means the servant of the Lord. Guru means one who teaches others the process of how to serve the Lord and surrender to the Lord. So on this most holy and worshipable day of Nityananda Trayodashi, we have the great fortune of begging, praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and purifying our hearts by remembering his wonderful pastimes and his most beautiful mercy upon his devotees. So it was on this day that the year 1474 that Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared within this world. He appeared at a place called Garbhavas in the holy Tirtha of Ekachakra, which is in the Burdwan district of Bengal. His father was Hadai Pandit, who was completely renounced from all material attachments, who was most learned scholar, who was a pure unalloyed devotee of the Lord. In fact, he is an eternal associate of the Lord, who has descended from the spiritual world to perform this wonderful pastime. The mother was Padmavati, who was the pleasure potency of the Lord himself. And through the womb of Mother Padmavati, Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared
within this world.
And when he appeared in the area called Radhadesh, the drought that was then plaguing the area was immediately vanquished. In fact, all prosperity came about. There was wonderful rains, beautiful, auspicious constellations in their supreme states in the sky, and all the Brahmins' hearts became naturally blissful, and flowers were growing, and birds were singing. Everything was just full of abundance, full of auspiciousness, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead had descended in the village of Ekachakra. A simple and humble place. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was very young, he was so beautiful, attractive, with his golden complexion and wonderful lotus-like eyes. It is explained how from his earliest years, his mother and his father and all the people of Ekachakra, they loved him more than their own lives. And of course, this was in reciprocation for the natural, infinite love that he gave all of them. And that love showered upon them through his mere glance. Nityananda Prabhu, from his very infancy, had this power that whoever he glanced upon was just inundated with the divine love of his heart. And they drowned in that love. They could not give up looking at him. They could not give up his association. When he was a child, they would just want to embrace him. And when they embraced him, he reciprocated in such a way that their hearts were feeling ecstatic love. And even on the physical platform, his body was so soft. It is said that it felt like a puppet made out of cream. Who could possibly give up from embracing him to their heart? When he was very little, he had many playful sports with his friends. But those games were always the enactments of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. Sometimes the children would go in a room and they would turn all the lights out. Actually, before that, one of them would, they would all dress up as demigods, and one would dress up as a cow representing Mother Earth, and they would pray to Lord Brahma, and one of the children, along with Brahma, was praying to Vishnu, and then a voice would come from the sky that, "I am soon coming to deliver you from the, and remove the burden of this earth." Then they would turn all the lights out in a room, and they would enact the wonderful birth of Krishna in the cell of Kamsa. And one of the children would take a little doll representing Krishna and carry him across a river to bring to Gokul. Nityananda Prabhu was the producer, the director, and the leading actor in most of these wonderful pastimes. He would dress one little child up as Putana, and then he would take another child who would climb upon her and suck the poison from her and cause her to die. Then they would construct, they would have all these little projects, they would construct a little cart made out of reeds and wood. He would put one little boy like Krishna who would kick the cart and it would break. Sometimes when they were playing, they would imitate, not imitate, but they would perform the wonderful pastimes of stealing butter. But they wanted nice participation of everyone, so they would break in people's houses in Ekachakra. And like Krishna and Balaram and the friends, they would steal their butter and their milk and their yogurt. And other times, They would enact the pastimes of the killing of Bakasura, Aghasura, Vatsasura. Sometimes Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his friends would perform the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, the stealing of the garments of the gopis, all of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. And at one time, they performed the pastime of Akura, taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu, he played the part of Gopi, and he was crying, he was weeping incessantly, rivers of tears. And the people of Ekatraka were thinking, how is he crying so much? Is this a game? Who is this person? And another time, there was a Bakula tree, which is still there today, a descendant of that tree. And it is said that that tree had branches and leaves that looked like the heads of cobras. So they would take those branches and they would bring it to a little lake called Padmavati Kund. This lake is where Mother Padmavati would every day go to give bath to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And they would make, just like out of these branches, a Kaliya serpent. And Nityananda Prabhu would dance on the hoods of those serpents. And his friends never wanted to give up his association. They would be late for prasad at home. They would be late for coming home to take rest. Parents are usually very angry with their children when they're always late, when they never want to come home. The parents would always have to come and drag their children to come home. But in this case, whenever they would see the beautiful form of Lord Nityananda, all of their anger would subside. They were simply happy that their children was with Nityananda. They were in bliss. They would embrace him when they would see him. He also performed with his children, friends, the wonderful pastimes of Vamana Dev and Varaha Dev and Narasingha Dev, and especially the pastimes of Lord Ram. In these pastimes, Nityananda Prabhu would take the role of Lakshman. Sometimes he and his friends would dress up as monkeys and build a bridge across the ocean. Sometimes as Lakshman he would kill Indrajit. At one time, one friend was disguised as Ravana. And as they were fighting, he said, "I will kill you with my Shakti Shila." And he threw a very soft lotus flower on the chest of Nityananda Prabhu. And so absorbed in this pastime, Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground and there was no symptoms of life in his body. And his friends were trying to awaken him, but he would not wake up. And then they began to cry. And then Hadai Pandit and Padmavati and all the older people of Ekachakra, the parents, they all came and they saw him laying there. And they thought, "What is wrong? What happened? I just threw a lotus flower on him, but there's no symptoms of life in his body. He was laying there for hours, and they were all crying. Everyone was weeping, crying." And then one intelligent person said, "I remember some time back, he performed a similar pastime like this. I think that if Hanuman brings the herbs, then he will come back to life." So then all the friends said, "Yes, now we remember. Before we perform this pastime, Nityananda said, when I fall unconscious, make sure Hanuman brings the herbs from the Garbhadana mountain, Gandhamadana mountain." So then one boy who was Hanuman, he started running. And as he was running, one boy dressed as a crocodile attacked him. And Hanuman fought the crocodile and defeated him. Then another boy was dressed as a rakshasa. He said, "You may have killed the crocodile, but I will eat you." And then the boy was wrestling and fighting with the rakshasa, and ultimately Hanuman killed the rakshasa. Didn't kill, but he defeated the boy as the rakshasa. And then there was Gandharvas who were trying to tempt Hanuman into pleasures to distract his attention, but Hanuman said, "I am the servant of Ram." And then he got the Gandhamadana mountain and brought it back to where Nityananda Prabhu was laying. And one little friend who was playing the role of a doctor, he took some herbs from that mountain and placed them near Lord Nityananda, and immediately he got up. And Hadai Pandit and Padmavati began to embrace him with great love, and all the children began to dance in great happiness, chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, Lord Nityananda Prabhu spent the first 12 years of his earthly pastimes. Simply nothing. He played no game except the pastimes of the Lord. Day and night, he was just absorbed. Sometimes the adults would ask him, "How? You're so young with your friends. You haven't even read any books. You haven't heard any kathas. How do you know all these pastimes?" And Nityananda Prabhu would say, "These are my pastimes." But nobody could understand what he was saying because they were covered by the power of Yogamaya. So Lord Nityananda, at the age of 12, at that year, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Srinavadvip Dham. And the moment that Lord Chaitanya appeared, Nityananda Prabhu, who was just a little boy, he was in such ecstasy, he began to roar. And as he roared, the whole universe was shaking. And people were wondering, "What is this roar? What is this tumultuous sound?" And some were saying, "I think Nityananda is a great soul, or perhaps he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Anyways, Lord Nityananda was thinking that it was his purpose of incarnating in this world especially to assist Lord Chaitanya in his wonderful pastimes. And in order to do this, he had to leave home. And how could he possibly leave home? His mother and father were so deeply attached to him in ecstatic love. So by his divine arrangement, one day, a mysterious sannyasi came to Ekachakra. To this day, no one in the world knows his name. When that sannyasi arrived, Hadai Pandit greeted him with great devotion, invited him into his home. He told him that, "Please come and take prasad." The sannyasi said, "I will take prasad only if you give me charity by fulfilling my desire." And Hadai Pandit said, "Yes, of course, whatever you want." So he said, "All right, then I will take your prasad." And he took prasad, and all night long this sannyasi was explaining the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna to Hadai Pandit. And the next day, at the time of dawn, as the sun was rising, the sannyasi was about to leave. And Hadai Pandit asked, "How may I serve you?" He said, "I ask this charity of you. Give me your eldest son, Nityananda, to travel with me to the holy places of pilgrimage, because I am a sannyasi, and I will be traveling much, and I require a brahmachari as my servant." When Hadai Pandit heard this, it was like a thunderbolt cracking against his heart. And when his good wife, Padmavati, heard this, her heart just broke into millions of pieces. Hadai Pandit did not know, "What can I do? He is asking not for my son, he is asking for my life." But then he began to think that according to the principles of religion, one must give in charity to those great souls who are devotees of the Lord. And he began to meditate upon how Vishwamitra Muni came to Maharaj Dasarath in Ayodhya and asked for his son, Lord Ramchandra. And how, although Dasarath loved Ram more than his own life, for the purpose of serving the great souls and maintaining the true principles of Dharma, he offered his son in charity to Vishwamitra. Hadai Pandit went to Padmavati and asked, "What should we do? I think we have to give our son." And Srimati Padmavati said, "My dear husband, whatever you decide is what I desire." But what greatly astonished Hadai Pandit is that Nityananda Prabhu was completely detached and eager to leave. Lord Nityananda was given over to the sannyasi with great respect and devotion by Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And as they were under a banyan tree, Padmavati, her heart was so broken, she just began to cry and to weep. And she called out, how will I possibly live without my child?" And at that time, the sannyasi took out of his little bag a beautiful little deity of Krishna. And he gave it to Padmavati and he said, "You worship this deity and all your desires will be fulfilled." And Padmavati looked at the deity, and when she looked in the deity's face, she saw Lord Nityananda's face within the deity. And that deity's name is Muralidhar, and it was the original deity of Ekachakra, which today is still being worshipped. So as the sannyasi was leaving with Lord Nityananda, Hadai Pandit and all the residents of Ekachakra, they couldn't believe what was happening. They were just looking, and they became paralyzed. Nobody could move a limb of their body. The only movement that was there were tears incessantly flowing from people's eyes. And Lord Nityananda did not even turn back as he left with this great sannyasi. And then somehow or other, they came to their senses that Nityananda is gone. This cannot be. We have to. And all the people of the town were thinking, I will give the sannyasi my own son. I will give the sannyasi all my sons. But Nityananda cannot leave. So they wanted to somehow or other dissuade him or make some sort of trade. And everyone of Ekachakra went chasing after the sannyasi and Nityananda. But they were nowhere to be found. People were searching and looking and running and jumping. But they all returned to the village with broken hearts. And it is explained that after that, Ekachakra became like a ghost town. There was no life, there was no sound. Most of the people, they could not bear seeing the places where Lord Nityananda would have his pastimes without seeing Lord Nityananda. It was too painful. To see that beautiful Bakula tree, to see Padmavati Kund, to see the Garbhavas where he took his birth. It reminded them so much of Lord Nityananda, it increased their pain of separation so much that practically everyone in the village just left to go to somewhere else, completely immersed in the thought of Lord Nityananda. And Hadai Pandit, who could possibly comprehend the ecstasy of separation, which appeared to be in the form of intense suffering? He stood like a statue. He did not eat, he did not drink, he did not sleep for 3 months. He only cried. And his crying was so intensely filled with devotion that it would melt even stone. Even the most wicked yavanas would be, their hearts would melt upon hearing the wonderful story of Hadai Pandit's separation. And after a few months, how did Hadai Pandit exist? It was only by the thought of Lord Nityananda that maintained his body. And then submersed in the feelings of separation for his beloved son, Hadai Pandit gave up his mortal body and his soul entered into the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. One may ask, why Lord Nityananda Prabhu left his parents in such a state of agony when they were such great devotees and they gave their lives, their soul, everything only for his pleasure? Who could give up such parents? And it is explained that no one can understand the activities of Vishnu and his devotees. For the sake of higher spiritual principles, devotees are willing to leave behind anything and everything. The example is given that Devahuti was a widowed woman, helplessly depending on her son. And yet Lord Kapila Dev, after discussing Sankhya philosophy with her, left her behind and entered as into the forest. And how Lord Ramchandra, without a second thought, entered into the forest, leaving Dasarath and Kausalya in an ocean of tears. And how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his aged and widowed mother, in order to preach the message of Godhead, he left her behind to accept sannyas. In this way, for the sake of divine religious principles, one has the absolute right to discard all material and social obligations. And this is the history, the greatest history of Dharma throughout the ages. Lord Nityananda Prabhu with the sannyasi went on pilgrimage. First they went to Gaya, then to Prayag, to Varanasi, to Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, in the mood of Lakshman, he simply wept and cried as he was thinking of his wonderful pastimes there, bathing in the Sharayu River. He went to Mathura. When he came to Mathura, he bathed in the Vishram Ghat. And then he went to Vrindavan. He traveled to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. When he was in Vrindavan, he was like a child. He was just roaming around. He bathed in the river Jamuna. He did the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. He went to Gokul Mahavan, where he took birth as Balaram. And there he was in ecstatic love, remembering Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And after remaining for some time in Mathura, he went to Hastinapur. There he remembered his wonderful devotees, the Pandavas, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima. And he was remembering the wonderful, wonderful austerities and sacrifices the Pandavas performed in devotion to him. And he began to cry in ecstatic love, thinking of these devotees. He went to Kurukshetra. He went to Badrik Ashram, where he saw Naranarayan Rishis. He went to Naima Sharanya, where he previously had punished Romaharshan Sutta. He went all the way down to the southern parts of India. He went to Tirupati and Srirangam. He was in Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi. And when he saw how the Shivites and the Vaishnavas were arguing with each other, he simply laughed. And he went to one very famous Buddhist place of pilgrimage, and there were some Buddhists sitting, and he asked them some questions, but they didn't answer. So he kicked them in the heads. Nirvishesh-shunyavad. And they all ran away, and he laughed. But actually, you may think, why he kicked them in the head? Actually, the Buddhists deny the form of God. They deny God exists at all. So they were sitting in meditation for their purification, so he purified them. He gave them the dust of his lotus feet, which is the ultimate perfection of life, to receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord on their head. They didn't know the value, but he gave it to them anyway. So his supreme compassion, love, and mercy upon all living beings. He went to Setubandha, Rameshwaram, so many places he was traveling. And he came to Pandharapur. And while he was in Pandharapur, throughout the day he would dance and chant and offer oceans of love and devotion at the lotus feet of Vitthalnath. And he was staying in the home of one Brahmin. And this Brahmin was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was a godbrother of Madhavendra Puri. And this Brahmin was telling Nityananda Prabhu all about his Guru Maharaj, how he was soon going to come. At that time, Lakshmipati Tirtha was very old. He was an exalted Paramhamsa Vaishnav in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And he came to that Brahmin's home. As he came, with his heart filled with love, he was just chanting the holy names. And Nityananda Prabhu, he told this Brahmin, please do not tell anyone I'm here. So Lakshmipati Tirtha, as soon as he came in the Brahmin's house, he said, I feel there is a very, very special exalted personality here. There is a special atmosphere that is very auspicious. But the Brahmin did not say anything. So Lakshmipati Tirtha spent the whole day and the whole night just discussing the wonderful glories of Krishna as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that night, late, he took rest and he had a dream. In the dream, first before he had his dream, he was praying to Lord Balaram to be merciful to him. And that night, Balaram appeared to him in a dream, standing with his beautiful form, as white as a rain cloud in the spring, with blue robes and turban, holding his plow, glancing upon him so mercifully with his lotus eyes. And Balaram was worshipped by Lakshmipati Tirtha in this dream. And then the Lord spoke. He said, tomorrow an avaduta, Brahman, will come before you and ask for initiation. You should give him initiation. And this is the mantra you should give him. And then Balaram whispered the mantra in Lakshmipati Tirtha's ear. And then the Lord disappeared. And Lakshmipati Tirtha, when he woke from his dream, he was weeping and crying that he received such a good fortune of his worshipable deity, Baladev's personal darshan. And just at that moment, Lord Nityananda Prabhu came before him. And when Lakshmipati Daitirtha saw the beauty of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his heart just filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu offered his prostrated obeisances, fell at the feet of Lakshmipati, and worshipped him. And Lakshmipati Tirtha lifted him up and embraced him. Nityananda could not understand. So by the will of the Lord, on that auspicious day, in the holy land of Pandharapur, Lakshmipati Tirtha gave formal initiation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nityananda. And then Lakshmipati Tirtha went on with his travels, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu also traveled in another direction after worshipping his Guru Maharaj. But that night, Lakshmipati Tirtha had another dream. In this dream, Lord Nityananda, who he had just initiated as his disciple, appeared before him. So beautiful, so generous with divine love. And then that form of Lord Nityananda transformed into the form of Lord Balaram to reveal his true eternal identity. Lakshmipati Tirtha woke up in lakes of tears of love. And constantly remembering Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, very soon after this, he gave up his body and returned to the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda Prabhu continued his travels, and he came to a place called Pratichi Tirtha. And there he met with Srila Madhavendra Puri. This story is so sacred that Vrindavan Das Thakur explains anyone who hears the story of the meeting of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Madhavendra Puri will most certainly achieve the wealth of pure love of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri was the initiated disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was the very jewel of Vaishnavas. He was the root of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the first one within our sampradaya to manifest the most unique and extraordinary ecstasies of the love in conjugal ras of Braja. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu came before Madhavendra Puri, he fell at Madhavendra Puri's lotus feet. And when Madhavendra Puri saw him, he was struck with love. He had never seen such a beautiful personality. And it is said that the two, as they were looking at each other, were just completely numb. They were motionless. And Madhavendra Puri lifted him up and embraced him. And as he was embracing him, they were both soaking each other with tears. And they could not let go of each other. Their voices were faltering. They could not even speak. And the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, headed by Ishwara Puri, when they saw the love of these two great souls, they were struck with wonder. In fact, when Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda Prabhu met, upon seeing each other and embracing each other, they both fell unconscious in ecstatic love. And Lord Nityananda said, "I have traveled to so many holy places of pilgrimage, but I have not seen anyone who is truly a devotee of the Lord. Now the fruit of all my pilgrimage has been fulfilled because I am seeing the very personification of divine love of Krishna, Sri Madhavendra Puri." Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda Prabhu spent many days together, day and night, having kirtan of the holy name and discussing the wonderful glories of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri considered it the perfection and fulfillment of his life. And Lord Nityananda accepted Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master, his Shiksha Guru. He considered his prominent guru in life. In this way, although they did not want to leave one another, constantly immersed in loving, affectionate relationships, but each had their service to perform for the Lord. So with great difficulty, they parted. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu began traveling toward Setubandha Rameshwaram in the south and to so many other holy places. In this way, he ultimately came back to Vrindavan. And he decided to remain in Vrindavan until Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his leela of inaugurating the Harinam Sankirtan movement, of propagating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. While he was living in Vrindavan, he was always in the mood of a little child, a cowherd boy. And he would just roll in the dust of Vrindavan in great joy. And he would just never even concerned himself for eating. If someone came and brought him some milk without him asking, he would accept it. He was so engrossed. He would play in Jamuna, and he would meet other little Brijabasis who were cowherd boys. And he would play with them. And he came to Ramghat, where Lord Balaram actually punished the river Jamuna for not being obedient to him, and where Balaram performed his beautiful Ras Leela with his gopis. And while there, Nityananda Prabhu was completely absorbed in remembering his wonderful Leela as Balaram. And it was there at Ramghat that he fell and started rolling in the ground and praying for the Supreme Lord to begin his wonderful Sankirtan movement. That the wretched fallen souls of this Kali Yuga are in such a miserable condition of forgetfulness of Krishna. They are suffering so terrible, it is unbearable to my heart. Please, my Lord, please, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, begin this wonderful Sankirtan movement and let me come and assist you to induce the whole world to chant the holy name. He was living in a place called Sringarvat in Vrindavan, which is also known as Nityanandabhat, where there is a beautiful tree. And he would sit there, absorbed in the Leela of Vrindavan, but always waiting for Lord Chaitanya to begin his movement of Sankirtan. Altogether, Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed this pilgrimage for 20 years. When he was 32 years old, at that time, he understood from the Lord and by his own omnipotent vision and from the news coming from others that Nimai Pandit had just returned from Gaya. He had just received initiation from Ishwara Puri. He was manifesting the supreme ecstasies of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, and he was distributing that ecstasy to everyone through the congregational chanting of the Holy Name.
Krishna,
Lord Nityananda Prabhu was such an obedient servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that through all this 20 years on pilgrimage, he never preached. He never taught anyone what is bhakti. He never held congregational chanting of the holy name because he wanted his Lord and Master Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to first inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement in the age of Kali. And he did not feel himself qualified to preach to anyone until he received the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. He traveled to Sri Navadvipa Dham. And when he arrived, he decided to go into hiding at the house of Sri Nandan Acharya, who was a very gentle and pure Vaishnava associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Lord Chaitanya, with his devotees in the house of Sri Devas, he went into great ecstasy. And he said, very soon, a great personality will come. And then on another day in Srivas's house, the Lord, exhibiting symptoms of extraordinary love of God, he said, last night I had a dream. In this dream, I saw a chariot, the most wonderful chariot that exists. And there was a flag decorating that chariot with the emblem of a palm tree. And standing on it was a tall, beautiful form. He was so extraordinary, very strong. He had a beautiful white complexion, eyes like lotus flowers. Never have I seen such a beautiful, such an opulent form as this. He had blue robes, dhoti and chador, and he had a blue turban on his head. He had a plow on one shoulder and a club on another. This person looked like he was intoxicated with ecstatic love of God. And 10 or 20 times he kept asking the same question, where is the house of Nimai Pandit? I believe this personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I approached him and asked him, who are you? And his reply was, I am your brother, and tomorrow we will meet and get to know each other. Lord Chaitanya revealed to them that this was Lord Balaram himself. And he asked Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur to search throughout the town of Navadvip and find Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So with this order, they went running through the streets. They looked everywhere. All the while, they understood that the Lord's eternal associate, Balaram, has come to be reunited with him. We must find him. For 9 hours, they searched. And with great disappointment, they returned. And they said to Lord Chaitanya that we went to the houses of the Vaishnavas. We went to the houses of people who are not Vaishnavas. We went to materialistic people's houses. We went to the bathing ghats, to the marketplaces. We looked everywhere. We could not find this extraordinary personality that you are speaking about. And Lord Chaitanya began to smile. And he was thinking that Lord Nityananda Prabhu is very mysterious. No one can find him unless he reveals himself.
Then Lord Chaitanya said to his devotees, "You all come to me." And he walked directly to the house of Sri Nandanacharya. And Nityananda Prabhu was standing on the veranda of the home. And when the devotees saw his beautiful, transcendental form, led by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they all offered their prostrated obeisances at his lotus feet. And when Lord Nityananda looked up and saw the beloved Lord and Master of his life, his eternal, transcendental, loving companion, whom he had been waiting his whole life to worship and to serve, when he saw the beautiful form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he just went in trance and stood motionless. It is said that his eyes were just completely immersed in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. His nose was just 100% smelling the fragrance of the Lord. His tongue was tasting the sweetness of the Lord. His ears were hearing the glories of the Lord. Every particle of his flesh was just feeling the transcendental mercy of the Lord. In this way, he stood motionless in the supremest meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of his senses, his mind, and everything were completely absorbed in Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, "Please recite the glories of Krishna's qualities." And Srivas Thakur recited a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describing how when the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmins, went to the forest to see Krishna, how beautiful he was standing with forest flowers in his hair and a beautiful garland of such wild flowers and peacock feathers. And he was holding his flute in his beautiful threefold bending form, which was blackish like the tamal tree. And how the dust of Vrindavan was covering his body, and he was holding his flute, and he was with his companions, the gopas. Upon hearing this wonderful description, Lord Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious. And he fell to the ground in such a way that the devotees were fearing that he had broken his bones. And they were somehow trying to bring him back to consciousness, but they could not. So Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, "Continue reciting." And as he was reciting more beautiful stories about the glories of Krishna's quality and form, Nityananda Prabhu again came to his senses. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, as Lord Nityananda was down, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up in his arms and was embracing him and bathing him with his tears. Gadadhar Pandit was thinking that Ananta Shesha is always the resting place for the Lord, but now they have changed positions. And the Lord is the resting place for Ananta Shesha. Gadadhar Pandit could understand the transcendental position of Nityananda Prabhu. And as the two began to embrace one another and bathe one another in the tears of love from their eyes, we can never fathom or imagine. The Jivatma has no capacity. What type of ecstatic ocean of love of God was manifested at the first meeting of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu? Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, "Where have you come from?" Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, "I traveled to all the holy places, but I could not find Krishna anywhere. All the temples were closed and the deities were covered. And I asked people in these holy places, 'Where is Krishna?' And they told me that he has appeared in Godadesh, Bengal. And he has recently gone to Gaya, and now he's come back to Godadesh. So I have come here. And now, by your great infinite mercy, I am seeing your worshipable lotus feet." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to praise Nityananda Prabhu, that such symptoms of ecstatic love are only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And wherever you go, Nityananda Prabhu, that becomes the holiest of all holy places. And whoever sees you or touches you or chants your name will achieve love of God, love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, he asked him, "Where should we celebrate Vyas Puja? Tomorrow is the full moon day. It is the day of the worship of Vedavyas." So Nityananda Prabhu, he said, "We will celebrate in the house of Srivas." Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, "This is a very difficult task you have, to organize everything for this Vyas Puja." Srivas said, "I already have all the ingredients. All I need is the book that tells the procedures." So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and all the devotees went to the house of Srivas Thakur. And it was in the house of Srivas Thakur that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the devotees to begin chanting the holy names. And as they were chanting, Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And upon seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing, Lord Nityananda Prabhu began to dance. And this was the first kirtan that Gaur Nitai were dancing together. And how they danced. Sometimes they would be crying. Sometimes they would be falling unconscious. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya's feet were touching his own head. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing so gracefully it looked like he was just floating. And his hairs were standing on end and tears were incessantly flowing from his eyes and his limbs were trembling in ecstatic love. And Nityananda Prabhu, all the ecstasies of divine emotion were upon his body. And sometimes in love he would dance so gracefully, and other times when his foot would touch the ground it appeared that the whole earth was shaking. And sometimes they would embrace one another. And sometimes they would try to take the dust from the other's lotus feet. But this was a very transcendental pastime, because neither would allow the other to take the dust from their lotus feet. So there was great transcendental competition, but neither could succeed. And with their arms raised, beautifully dancing together, with their eyes gazing at each other's divine forms, all the devotees were feeling the supreme ecstasy of this darshan as they very loudly called out Krishna's holy name. Kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours and hours as Gaur Nitai were dancing together to the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Tomorrow we will celebrate your Vyas Puja." But Nityananda Prabhu stayed in the house of Srivas Thakur. And in the middle of the night, in extraordinary ecstasy of love, he just began to roar and scream. And then he took his danda and broke it in many pieces And then he took his kamandalu, his begging pot, and broke it in many pieces. And the brother of Srivas, Ramai Pandit, he came into the room and he saw what Lord Nityananda had done. And he went to Srivas and said, "He's mad. Transcendentally mad. He's broken his dandi, he's broken his kamandalu, he's screaming." Srivas said, "You should tell Lord Chaitanya." So Lord Chaitanya immediately came to that place. And he said to Lord Nityananda, why you have done this? Why you have broken your danda and kamandalu?" Nityananda was just sitting smiling. Lord Chaitanya said, "All right, let us go to the river Ganga." And Lord Chaitanya took the broken danda and kamandalu and put it in the Ganga. And as they were about to take bath, some dangerous crocodiles were in the middle of the Ganges. And when Lord Nityananda saw them, he immediately dove toward them and started swimming on them. And all the devotees were trying to call him and physically hold him back. But nothing could hold him back. Sometimes when Lord Nityananda, actually during the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda was rolling on the ground and trembling in so many ways, it appeared his bones would be broken. And at that time, all the devotees together tried to hold him down, but they couldn't. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally embraced him, and he became completely still. In the same way, all the devotees were trying to stop Lord Nityananda from jumping on these crocodiles. But he didn't listen to anyone. Then Lord Chaitanya called out, "Come back." And immediately Lord Nityananda left the crocodiles and came back. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was completely obedient as the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they came back to Srivas's house. And the wonderful celebration of Yas Puja began. Kirtan. Devotees were dancing and chanting together. And at the culmination of the ceremony, Srivas gave a garland to Nityananda Prabhu to place on Vedavyas. And he said, "Now, with great love, you worship Vedavyas by offering him this garland." And Nityananda Prabhu stood there and said, "So be it, I will." And he stood there. And Srivas said, "You place the garland on Vyasadeva." He said, "So be it, I will." He placed the garland on Vyasadeva. Now it is the auspicious time. Srivas went and he said to Lord Chaitanya, "You're Nityananda Prabhu, he is not doing... He's just standing there with the garland." So then Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda and he said, "Nitai, you put the garland on Vedavyas." And then Nityananda Prabhu, in a very playful, transcendental way, he placed the garland on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he did that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed his form into Sadbuja, the six-armed form. What was the six-armed form? Four arms were carrying the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club. And the other two, one was holding Balaram's plow, and the other was holding Balaram's mace. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu saw this beautiful form, he worshipped it in divine ecstatic love. And after this wonderful pastime took place, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu danced together for many hours in kirtan to celebrate Vyas Puja, and all the devotees were happily chanting the holy name. Then they took prasad, a big wonderful feast. And Srivas was staying at the house, Nityananda Prabhu was staying at the house of Srivas Thakur. Krishna. And one day Lord Chaitanya came to Srivas and he said, "Why are you letting this avaduta stay in your house? You don't know where he was born, you don't know what he has eaten, you don't know anything about him. Why you are letting him stay in your house?" And Shiva said, "I know you are testing me, because I know that Nityananda Prabhu is none different than you. He is your very heart, your very soul. He is worshipable by all." And when Lord Chaitanya heard Srivas glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, he became jubilant in ecstatic love. He said, "Srivas, you have said the right thing. This is very good." He said, "Nityananda Prabhu is most mysterious, but whoever touches him or hears him or says his or takes the dust of his feet, whoever in any way gets his mercy will achieve love of Krishna." Nityananda Prabhu was always in the mood of a small child. And although Srivas's mother was very old, Lord Nityananda treated her just like his own mother. In fact, in Srivas's house, Nityananda Prabhu would not eat unless Malini put the food in his mouth. This was the loving relationship that they had. And although she was very old and she hadn't had children in years and years, every time she saw Lord Nityananda, her breast would fill with milk. This was the parental love that she had for him. One time, Malini was arranging the puja articles for her husband, Srivas, and a crow came into the puja room, and the crow took a little brass cup filled with ghee. And Malini was thinking that, "My husband, Srivas, what will he say? This brass cup filled with ghee is necessary for his puja. He will be very angry with me. I have seen how he sometimes gets angry when his worship is being disturbed." So Malini began to cry. Meanwhile, the crow came back without the cup. So Nityananda Prabhu came just at that moment. "Mataji, why you are crying? What is your distress?" "Whatever your distress, I will relieve it." She said, "This crow, he flew away with Srivas's brass cup for worshipping Krishna, and he has come back without it. I don't know what to do." So Nityananda Prabhu, with great love, he spoke to the crow. He said, "Crow, bring back the brass cup of Srivas." So the crow flew away and within a minute came back with the cup still filled with ghee. And Malini was so happy. She said, This is no small thing for you to do to get the crow to come back." He said, "When your teacher, Sandipani Muni, when his children were dead, you brought them back from the abode of Yamaraj. You can bring back any dead person from the abode of Yamaraj. As Ananta Shesha, you are holding all the universes on the hoods. You can deliver anyone. This is no small thing. This is no big thing for you. This is a very small thing that you have asked the crow to bring back this cup. But actually, nothing you do is small. Nothing is unimportant. Whatever you do is supremely glorious and great, because you are always protecting and giving satisfaction to your devotees." One Sachi Devi also, she saw Nityananda Prabhu as her own son. Her greatest pleasure was to feed Gaur Nitai together. And one time Sachi Mata came to Lord Chaitanya and she said, "I had a wonderful dream last night. I saw our deities of Krishna and Balaram, and they were being worshipped on the altar, and I offered them nice sandesh and sweetmeats, rasgullas, and then I saw yourself and Nitai, you appeared like five-year-old children. And, no, I'm sorry. I saw you and Nitai, and I saw that Nityananda had the deity of Krishna, and you had the deity of Balaram, and you were taking him out of the temple. And then Balaram and Krishna began to fight with you. They were fighting over who would eat the offerings. And Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram said, "What are you doing? You cannot do this. You cannot steal my offerings and Krishna's offerings." And Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, your time is up. Krishna is no longer the Lord. Now Lord Chaitanya has come. He is the Supreme Lord. He has come. All offerings must be given to him." And Balaram said, if you behave like this, we will tie you up, we will beat you. You cannot treat Krishna like this." And this way they were fighting, snatching the sandeshes out of each other's hands, trying to eat them. And then through all this, Nityananda Prabhu began to call to me, "Sachi Mata, I am hungry." And then the dream broke. Lord Chaitanya said, "This is a wonderful dream, but do not tell anyone that you have seen this dream." He said, "Actually, you should understand that our deities have great potency. Previously, when we offered food that you cooked, I would go on the altar and offer it, and I would see that less food was there. And I was thinking, my wife, Vishnupriya, that she was stealing the food. But now I know that the deities eat them." Meanwhile, Vishnupriya was listening, and she was very happy, smiling, to hear this nice talk. He said, "You prepare prasad and I will call Nityananda." So Sachi Mata very happily prepared nice feast of prasad, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu came together and they sat down, and Sachi Mata went into the kitchen to bring some other preparations, and when she came in she saw that that Gorni Thai were in the forms of two little five-year-old children. One had a white complexion, one had a blue complexion. They both had four arms. And when she saw them, her eyes became flooded with tears, and with the pots in her hand, she just fell down unconscious in ecstatic love. And her servant, Ishan, came running to try to clean up what the mess that was caused by the pots falling, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself got up and lifted her, his mother. And she said, "What happened?" He said, "What happened?" And she couldn't speak a word. She just went into a secluded place and began to weep in transcendental devotion to the Lord. One time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was approached by Lord Chaitanya, and he said, "Nitai, please give me your kopan." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Lord Nityananda Prabhu gave Lord Chaitanya his kopan, and Lord Chaitanya tore the kopan into little strips of cloth and gave one to each of the devotees. And he said, "Wrap this around your head, because this is the cloth of Lord Nityananda Prabhu." And then he began to glorify the beautiful, wonderful qualities of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That anyone who receives his mercy, anyone who receives his prasad, anyone who gains his mercy will definitely get love for Radha and Krishna. You should keep this kopan always. You should worship it. You should consider it your life and soul. It is the prasad of Nitai. And meanwhile, while Lord Chaitanya was saying this, Lord Nityananda was just in a trance of love of God. And then Lord Chaitanya began to wash Lord Nityananda's feet. And he collected the water and distributed it to all the devotees. And he began to extol the glories of the water that washes Lord Nityananda Prabhu's feet. And all the devotees began sprinkling the water and drinking the water. And as they were drinking the water, they were just filled with happiness as everyone was celebrating this wonderful occasion by chanting the holy name. In this time, way Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed wonderful pastimes in Sri Navadvip. And they were always together. They could not leave each other's company. It was during this time that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go to every house, to every person, and request them to take the name of Krishna. And during this time, Nityananda Prabhu, by his causeless mercy, he met with Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai, so angry that they were interrupting their sinful activities, they went to kill Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, who ran away. And on another occasion, Nityananda Prabhu again approached Jagai and Madhai and asked them to take the name of Krishna. And Madhai beat him on the head with a clay pot. Nityananda Prabhu was bleeding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He invoked the Sudarshan Chakra to kill them. And Nityananda Prabhu prayed, "Please give them love of God. Do not end their life." We will explain this story tonight at the festival that we will be having. By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, Jagai and Madhai became Paramhamsa Vaishnav, devotees of the Lord. During the wonderful kirtan on the streets from Lord Chaitanya's house to that of Chand Kazi, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was dancing ecstatically by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through all the town, village, bathing places of all of Navadvip Dham. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, during their pastimes in Navadvip, were giving love of God to everyone and anyone without any discrimination. But some of the student class, who were very puffed up by their educational qualifications and their high birth, they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya. So one day Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda. He said, "I have come with a particular medicine to cure people of the disease of material life. But I find that the medicine is having an opposite effect. People's fever are becoming more severe. People are taking me to be an ordinary person, and they are making offenses to me. They want to beat me. And by doing this, they are destroying their own spiritual lives. So out of compassion and mercy for them, very soon I will shave my head and I will take on the saffron robes and I will become a sannyasi. Because if I take to the renounced order of life, everyone will bow down to me. Everyone will respect me. And when they bow down to respect me, they will achieve Krishna Prema. You know, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you know why I have descended in this world. You know why we have descended to this world. We have descended to give Krishna Prema even to the most fallen Malechas and Yavanas, to everyone without discrimination. We have come to flood this planet with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. For this purpose, I must take sannyas. I must leave my home and give Krishna Prema to the world. But I cannot do so without your permission. So please, Nitai, give me your blessings and permission, after careful thought, to help me achieve the fulfillment of our incarnation. When Nityananda Prabhu heard this, his heart was ripped to shreds. The thought of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving up all the enjoyments of his beautiful life in Navadvip and his associates, taking the severe, hard and simple life of a sannyasi, shaving his beautiful, beautiful locks of black hair, it was too much. Nityananda Prabhu became like a statue, still shocked to hear these things. But somehow or other, as the servant of the Lord, he spoke. He said, "You are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever you desire is perfect. Your compassion is perfect. And you know how to deliver all fallen souls. No one can question you. No one can forbid you. Whatever you do, you must do. I can only offer my obeisances at your lotus feet. But I beg you, please consult your other servants and tell them what is your thinking." In this way, Lord Chaitanya was very happy. And he said, "Thank you, Nitai." And as Lord Chaitanya left, Nityananda Prabhu, one son, Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas, whose husband, Jagannath Mishra, had died. She had nothing but Nimai as her life. What would Sachi Mata go through if her son takes sannyas? Nityananda Prabhu could not get this thought out of his heart. What pain, what suffering Sachi Mata will undergo if he leaves this world as a sannyasi. And thinking of the heart of Sachi Mata, Nityananda Prabhu simply went to a secluded place and he cried and he wept incessantly out of compassion for the Lord's mother. On the night of Makara Sankranti, when the sun enters into the northern hemisphere, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home and went to Katwa. He instructed Nityananda Prabhu to go there as well. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was part of the organization of the wonderful festival. Nityananda Prabhu himself had to bear the unthinkable pain of seeing Lord Chaitanya, his head being shaven and being given the danda of a renunciate. And then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and some of the other associates began their travel to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu understands the heart of the Lord. The Lord said, "Bring me to Vrindavan." But Lord Nityananda knew that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for his devotees is more love for his own personal interests. Lord Chaitanya longed to be in Vrindavan, but a greater desire than that is to please his devotees. So knowing the inner heart of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya told some young boys, "When this sannyasi asks you where is the Ganges, where is the Jamuna, you point him the direction of the Ganges." And then he sent one of the devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya, to Advaitacharya's home in Santipur and told him, "Lord Chaitanya will be bathing in the Ganga. Please bring some fresh clothes for him." So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was misdirected. And when he saw the river Ganges, he thought he was in the Jamuna. He thought he arrived in Vrindavan. He was in great ecstasy. He began to take his bath. And then he saw Lord Advaitacharya coming with his boat. And he said, "Here is your kopan.
Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing in Vrindavan, Advaita Charya? How did you know I am here?" He said, no, this is the Ganga, this is Santipur."
Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Nityananda has cheated me." Externally he was angry, but internally he was completely satisfied.
During the wonderful festival in Santipur, by the will of Sachimata, Lord Sri Chaitanya decided to go to Jagannath Puri instead of Vrindavan. And he departed. And Nityananda Prabhu was one of his associates. And at one time Lord Chaitanya went to bathe in river. And while he was bathing, before going in, he told Nityananda Prabhu, "Please hold my danda." And Lord Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda in three places.
Put it in the river.
Later on, Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, "Give me my danda." Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied that there is no danda. You were in ecstatic love and you fell and the danda broke and it went somewhere else. Lord Chaitanya knew what Lord Nityananda had done. He said, "I will not go to Jagannath Puri with you. Either you go first or I will go first." So Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "You go first, we will follow. That is your desire." How is it? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada explained the great, great significance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's breaking the danda of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the sake of preaching, took sannyas in Shankaracharya Sampradaya. Because that was the only Sampradaya where sannyasis were really being respected. So he had an ekadanda. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu could not tolerate seeing this ekadanda. Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood it should be a tridanda. It should not be an ekadanda. The Vaishnavas carry three dandas. The three dandas represent body, mind, and words dedicated to the service of the Lord. The ekadanda represents being one with the Lord. So Nityananda converted his ekadanda into a tridanda by breaking it into three places. And also, the danda is for those sannyasis who are Parivrajak Acharyas. But when one becomes Paramhamsa, he doesn't have to follow these conventional standards. So Nityananda Prabhu was thinking that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Paramhamsa. He should not have danda. So in this way, in his own deep, mysterious, ecstatic love of the Lord, he broke the danda and threw it in the river. And to this very day, this river is known as Danda Bhaga, and it is worshipped by all the devotees. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri. And upon seeing Jagannath, he fell unconscious and was brought to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And soon after that, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees arrived. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to see Lord Jagannath, he also, in great ecstatic love, he had been to Jagannath Puri previously during his yatra. On one occasion, it is described, a beautiful story, of how one day Lord Nityananda Prabhu went into Jagannath's temple. And he saw the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. And he ran to embrace him and began embracing Jagannath. And another day he came in and he saw the beautiful form of Balaram. And he just ran up right on the altar and started embracing Lord Balaram. And the guard was very upset because no one is allowed to do this. So the guard was very angry and he ran. And as Lord Nityananda was embracing Baladev, the guard went, put his hands on him to take him away, and as soon as he touched Nityananda, the guard was just pushed back a long distance. And the guard was thinking, I am so strong, I can hold an elephant. How is it that I have just been pushed back like this? And he didn't even move. I was just by touching him, I just went flying backwards. Then he was thinking, he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must be Balaram himself. And the next time he saw Lord Nityananda, he fell at Lord Nityananda's feet, the guard, and surrendered to him. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and embraced him, and invested him with love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day, in a secluded place, he was sitting with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And what they spoke, no one knows. But we do know that he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go to Bengal to preach. And then in order to reach to the lowest persons in the most sinful places, he cannot be a sannyasi. Because sannyasis have to follow certain principles of etiquette, renunciates, who they can associate with, where they can go. So he instructed Lord Nityananda Prabhu to get married so that he can go anywhere and everywhere, and that he should preach in Bengal. So taking this instruction as his life and soul, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, along with some of his associates, took leave of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri and began to go to Bengal. And of course, they never walked, they only danced. They never talked, they only sang beautiful kirtan. And this was a wonderful journey. All of his associates were dancing and singing the wonderful holy names of Krishna. And Abhiram Thakur, at one point, he just became so engrossed in the mood of a cowherd boy that he just stood in a threefold bending form playing on a flute, and he stood motionless for 9 hours in the middle of the road as all the devotees just continued the kirtan of the holy name. As they were performing this wonderful kirtan, they completely became oblivious to what direction they were going. In fact, after hours of chanting and dancing, they asked someone, where is the road to Bengal? They said, it's about 20 miles back that way. So they started going that way. And as they were traveling, they were dancing and chanting the holy names in great ecstatic love. Then sometime later, they asked someone, where is the road to Bengal? The road to Bengal is about 6 hours that way. In this way, they were never going in the right direction. But somehow or other, they ended up in Bengal. And they first went to the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati. And there, Lord Nityananda Prabhu induced all the devotees to have wonderful, wonderful kirtans. And they became so ecstatic in kirtans. And Lord Nityananda was demonstrating the most incredible opulence. During the kirtan, anyone he glanced upon, that glance was so full with ecstatic prema that those devotees just went mad. They just went ecstatically mad. He'd glance at someone, and they just started climbing on trees and dancing on the trees. They danced all the way to the most fragile branches and twigs of the trees, and somehow or other they didn't even fall. And some were jumping from the tops of trees in the kirtan. And some started embracing the trees with great love and dancing, and the trees would be uprooted and they would be dancing with trees. And someone else embraced 7 trees and uprooted them all and were dancing with them. Lord Nityananda said to Raghava Pandit, please bring me a flower from a kadamba tree.
And Raghava Pandit said that Kadamba trees don't grow in Bengal, they only grow in Vrindavan. And besides that, this is not even the season for Kadamba flowers, even if there was such a tree. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, go in your garden and see if there's any Kadamba flowers. So he went in the garden, and from a lime tree that was filled with fresh Kadamba flowers. So Raghava Pandit very happily picked all the flowers and made garland and brought it and offered it to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he asked the devotees to decorate him with fine ornaments. And he actually sat on the throne of Vishnu. And the devotees performed an abhishek for him, beautiful abhishek, bathing Lord Nityananda Prabhu with all divine substances as everyone was chanting the holy names. And it is explained when he was in the role of an avaduta, somebody really, really, one of his devotees really wanted to give him ornaments, but he said, I cannot accept it. But now that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to get married, he wanted to fulfill everyone's desire. So he allowed all the devotees to bring him fine ornaments and silks and decorate him. And anyone who saw him in that beautiful form was just struck with ecstatic love of God. In this way, the kirtan at the house of Raghava Pandit in Panihati went on in such ecstasy that for 3 months, 3 months of continuous kirtan, no one ate anything, no one drank anything, no one slept. 24 hours a day for 3 months, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his devotees were chanting the holy names and dancing. And during that kirtan, at one point, a great miracle took place. The whole atmosphere was permeated with the fragrance of Damanaka flowers. But Damanaka flowers only grow in Jagannath Puri. They don't grow in Bengal. So where is this fragrance coming from? Everyone was just astonished. And then Nityananda Prabhu disclosed the secret. Because this kirtan is so full of devotion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally come in his own spiritual form and he has danced in this kirtan with us. And because he has come from Jagannath Puri, his body is decorated with Damanaka flowers, and that is what you are smelling. The flowers from the body of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. After this wonderful 3 month kirtan, they began to chant and dance along the banks of the Ganges. And one day they saw little children just playing. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu cast his merciful glance upon the children, they all just became mad and started raising their arms and loudly chanting, Krishna's holy name. Some of the children started just embracing trees and uprooting them and dancing with them. And the parents, they couldn't stop their children from chanting and dancing. There was nothing they could do. 24 hours a day, for 30 days, these children had this kirtan. Without eating, without drinking, without sleeping, without going home to their parents. The parents would just come and watch them. And even they became filled with ecstatic love due to the influence of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadweep Dham. While in Navadweep, there was a Brahmin. He fell in bad association and he became a dacoit and a thief. And he had a whole gang of robbers. And he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was often decorated with nice ornaments. And he was thinking, if we can get these ornaments, we will be rich. So he told his gang of robbers that when he sleeps, we must rob him of his ornaments. Then we will have real wealth. So we should pray to Goddess Durga to help us. So that night they got their weapons. Each of them was holding swords and knives and daggers and axes and clubs. And they were hiding next to a tree. And they had a spy who was pretending to be like a devotee. And he was watching Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees' activities. And he would come back and he would report, "Now they're having kirtan. Nityananda Prabhu is dancing. And now they're eating prasad." Then he came back and said, "Very soon they'll be taking rest because they're almost done with prasad." So as they were waiting, all the robbers fell asleep. Then in the morning they heard the birds singing. And they woke up and the sun was up. They thought, "What happened? Why is this? We lost our chance. It's daytime." And the robbers were all looking at each other. "How is this possible?" And then the Brahmin, who was their leader, he said, "I know the reason. Because we did not do puja for Goddess Durga before doing this. Therefore she is punishing us. So tomorrow we will do proper puja." So the next day they were waiting for Lord Nityananda Prabhu to take rest. And while they were waiting, some of them were thinking, they were discussing who would get what. "I will get his earrings," one person said. "I will get those golden earrings." And the other robber said, "I will get his necklace." The other said, "I will get his bangles and his armlets. I will get the anklets on his feet." And they were getting more and more lusty for the jewels on Lord Nityananda's body. So then they performed big puja for Durga Devi. And then after it was told that they were sleeping, they went to the house. And when they got to the house, they saw these big, big guards. Each one was a giant, like a monster. And they were holding weapons, and they were circumambulating the house. And they were chanting the holy names of God. And the robbers thought that any one of these robbers, any one of these guards is so huge that they can crush us to pieces. Now what are we going to do? So the Brahmin said, "Some great king or some wealthy man must be visiting Nityananda Prabhu, and this is his guards. But after some days they will go away." So they were watching and watching, and when the guards went away, then they did their Durga Puja, begging her to empower them to perform sinful activities. Then everything was perfect according to all of their desires. And each of them had 5 to 7 terrible, deathly weapons hanging from their bodies and their hands. And they started walking up to the house of Nityananda Prabhu. He was actually staying at the house of Hadai Pandit, a simple Brahmin who was a great devotee. And as they approached the house, all of a sudden, all the robbers became blind. Completely blind. They couldn't see anything. And one of them fell into a ditch and broke all his bones. And while he was laying in the ditch, mosquitoes started biting him. And then leeches started getting and sucking their blood. And another one fell in a garbage pit. His bones were broken and all smelly, terrible garbage. He was just all over him. And then scorpions started stinging him and insects started biting him. And another person, he was blind. He just walked right into a pit of thorns, and he fell down in that pit. And the thorns were like razor-sharp knives just tearing his whole body apart. He was bleeding. His
every part of his body was just being stabbed, and if he tried to move in any direction, it just went deeper and deeper and deeper. And he was also getting eaten by all kinds of terrible, hungry insects. And another one of the robbers, all of a sudden, he just fell to the ground with high fever. Terrible burning fever. And then all the insects started biting him. And they were all just laying there screaming and crying. And then Indra, he was so angry that they were trying to kill Lord Nityananda and rob him, that he sent torrential rains. Massive clouds came. It became ice cold, freezing cold. And torrents of rain. And then the rain turned into hail. And there were these giant ice balls just crushing and cracking the limbs of these robbers. And they were blind, they couldn't see. There was a constant barrage of these hailstorms just pounding against their bodies, and insects biting them and thorns ripping them. And it was freezing cold and they were trembling. And they were cold, totally in misery. And this went on and on and on. They were being tortured. And then the Brahmin, who was the leader of the gang, he began to think in his heart that the first night we fell asleep. And we woke up after everything was finished. And the second night we saw those guards who were not human beings. And now we're like this. I can understand that Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I am so sinful. I am such a demon. I want to harm him and steal from him. But he has come to this world to give shelter to the most fallen. So I must take shelter of his lotus feet. And in that unbearable position, the Brahmin began to cry out for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And at that very moment, the rain and the hail stopped. The temperature became nice. All the insects went away. The thorns released them. And they all somehow or other came out of this miserable condition. And they all went to take their bath in the Ganga. And the next morning, this Brahmin, dacoit, he came to the house of Hiranya Pandit and crying out in great agony of regret, he fell at the feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and begged his forgiveness. Lord Nityananda, when he saw him, all these devotees, they knew he was a dacoit. Some of them were thinking, what is he doing here? Lord Nityananda said, what are you doing here? He said, I have come to take shelter. I have come to surrender my life. I am the most wicked. I am the most sinful. I have come with weapons in my hands to cause harm to you, to steal from you. But I have suffered so terribly by your mercy, and through this suffering I have learned that I have no other shelter but your lotus feet. It is a fact. When a person is under the illusion that he can be the enjoyer of this material world, the Lord's mercy is misery. When the Lord is compassionate to his devotee, he'll give him what he wants. When he's really compassionate, he makes him miserable. He takes everything away so that the devotee has no other shelter but me. That is the Lord's promise. So materialistic people, they are trying to enjoy the property of the Lord, and thus they are depriving themselves from the golden opportunity to return back home, back to Godhead in this precious human life. And the Lord gives so many instructions. He gives so many opportunities. He has sent the holy scriptures. He has sent the holy devotees. He has sent so many churches and mosques and temples and places to go to learn about the purpose of life. But yet people are still addicted to sinful activities. So therefore, the Lord's mercy to them is suffering, misery. And usually it has to come to the point of being totally hopeless and helpless before we return to our constitutional position of chanting the holy names helplessly. So this Brahmin was explaining that out of your great love and compassion, you have put me through so much suffering. But now I have understood that I am a sinful rascal and I am a demon. And I have wasted my life. I have murdered people. I have killed cows. I have done every type of terrible activity just for my own sense enjoyment. And worse than that, I attacked you, the all-merciful personality of Godhead. Therefore, on this day, I surrender my life to you. I beg forgiveness from you. And now, due to my sins and my offenses, I will go and I will drown myself in the river Ganges. Lord Nityananda Prabhu lifted him up and embraced him. And took the garland off his own neck and placed it around the neck of this Brahmin. And he told this dacoit that never again engage in sinful activities. Never again cause harm to any living being. You be a kind servant of the Vaishnavas. You be a compassionate servant of all fallen souls. You live a pure life and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And you go to the other dacoits and thieves and all of the other sinful, lowly, suffering people, and you preach to them this message of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and induce them all to chant the holy name. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki. In this way, Sri Nityananda Prabhu gave his mercy to this Brahmin, dacoit. And upon receiving this mercy and taking the name of the Lord right in front of all the devotees, this Brahmin began to weep. His limbs began to tremble in ecstatic love. He began to exhibit all the symptoms of a pure Vaishnava. And then he went out and he began preaching. And all the robbers and all the thieves and all the dacoits of the whole area, they all came and surrendered to Sri Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet by his influence. And he became the leader of this wonderful Sankirtan party of ex-dacoits. They all became pure, sinless Vaishnavas. They no longer took pleasure in sense gratification or causing harm to others. But their only pleasure was to sacrifice their lives to help others by getting them to understand the mercy of the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of Krishna. While Lord Nityananda Prabhu was in Navadvip, Srila Jiva Goswami came, and Nityananda Prabhu took Srila Jiva Goswami on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama to all the nine islands, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally explained each of the holy places in Sri Navadvip Mandal, and by his causeless mercy, he actually invoked Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates to appear in several of the places to give darshan to Srila Jiva Goswami, dancing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then Nityananda Prabhu sent Jiva Goswami to join Rupa and Sanatan, his two uncles, and assist them in Vrindavan. It was also while they were in Navadvip that Advaitacharya and Srivas decided that we should help Lord Nityananda to find proper, suitable match in marriage. At that time, there was a village called Shaligram. And in that village lived a very, very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Suryadas, and he had the title Sarakela due to his exalted service to the king. Suryadas Sarakela had two beautiful, beautiful daughters. One's name was Vasudha and the other was Janava. They were the very embodiments of the most exquisite beauty, an ocean of good qualities, and he desired to get them married. So he had one Brahmin trying to find a possible match for them. Meanwhile, he came back and explained that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, there is no one who is a better match for your two daughters than him. And when he heard the glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he became very satisfied. And that night he had a dream. In the dream he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu standing, so beautiful in his transcendental, ecstatic love of God. And that Suryadas was giving his hands, the hands of his two daughters, to Nityananda Prabhu in marriage. And he saw the marriage ceremony taking place, and as the three personalities stood there, he saw Lord Nityananda Prabhu turn into Balaram. And he saw Vishuddha turn into Varuni. And he saw Janava turn into Revati, the two consorts of Balaram. And then he could understand what was their eternal positions. And he became convinced that this is the right thing. And then the message was sent to Nityananda Prabhu and Srivas. He actually made the arrangements. And the marriage was set. And there was in the town of Shaligram, there was a beautiful, actually it was in the town of Kardaha. There was a beautiful, beautiful marriage ceremony that took place. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu was reunited with his eternal consorts, Vasudha and Janava. And they lived, actually after the marriage, they went to Navadvip. And Sachi Mata, she was so happy to see, because Nityananda Prabhu was like her own son. She was so happy to see Vishuddha and Janava that Sachi Mata accepted them like her own daughter-in-laws and embraced them and cried in great love and affection. And they, Vishuddha and Janava, took the dust from Sachi Mata's lotus feet upon their heads and served her with great care during their visit to Navadvip. And they went to Kardaha, where they lived. And it was in Kardaha that Nityananda Prabhu, through Vasudha, gave birth to one daughter named Ganga and one son named Virachandra. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, at one time, he went back to Ekachakra to visit after many decades of being away. By that time, his mother and father, of course, had already gone back to Godhead. And while residing in Ekachakra, one day, he had a dream where the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, appeared to him and told him that he would meet him in the river. There was a river called Maureshwar. This river, it is also none different than the Jamuna. And it flows by a beautiful temple of Shiva called Maureshwar Mahadev. And that deity in that temple, which is still today, was worshipped by Hadai Pandit Padmavati as well as Lord Nityananda when he was a young child. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to the river Jamuna in Ekachakra, and there he saw floating in the river beautiful, beautiful deity. And he cleaned the clay from the deity, and he saw the beautiful form, and he named that deity Bankhe Rai. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu personally installed that deity in Ekachakra. And short time later, in a vision, Radharani appeared and told him that she was under a tree in a nearby place, and she wanted to be united with her beloved Lord. So Radharani and Bankhe Rai was installed in a beautiful temple of Ekachakra and personally worshipped by Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. There are many wonderful stories. Of course, we know the story of how Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, how in his village in Bengal there was once a festival, and one of the associates of Miniketan of Nityananda Prabhu named Miniketan Aramdas attended that festival. And the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he made an offense to Miniketan Aramdas. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was very upset that how can you make offense by neglecting a devotee of Lord Nityananda? And his brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but no faith in Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, sometimes he acted in mysterious ways. But those who understand, they worship him and understand there is no means, there is no way of approaching the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had argument with his brother. And he told his brother, if you do not have faith in Lord Nityananda Prabhu, your so-called faith in Lord Chaitanya is useless. To try to have faith in one without the other is like the philosophy of half of a hen. A fool will think that the rear half of a hen gives eggs, the front half eats. So one is an asset and one is a liability. So I will cut the hen in half and I will keep the back half and throw out the front half. But if you do that, the hen will die. So similarly, you cannot approach the Lord without going through the spiritual master. The original spiritual master is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother and defended the dignity of Lord Nityananda's position. And that night in a dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a beautiful bluish form, dressed as a cowherd boy, holding a stick with a beautiful turban, his eyes rolling in an ecstatic love, saying again and again, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he turned to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswamiji, and with eyes glancing upon him in great compassion, he pointed toward Vrindavan, and he told him, go to Vrindavan. Go to Vrindavan, and all your desires will be attained. Upon that instruction of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the next morning, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, without saying anything to anyone, without making any types of arrangements, he just left and walked to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore, throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is falling at the feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu as his Lord and Master. For it was through the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he says, that I have achieved the feet, the lotus feet of Sri Rupan Raghunath Das Goswamis. And it is only by his mercy that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is being revealed to the world. And Nityananda Prabhu He was also the personal teacher and associate of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was living in Mamgachi in Navadweep. Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally taught Vrindavan Das Thakur the wonderful pastimes and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And later on, Janava Devi, Lord Nityananda's consort, accepted Vrindavan Das Thakur as her own son. And it was through Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur that Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was written. And in every chapter, Vrindavan Das Thakur is taking shelter of the feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he repeatedly explains, it is not me speaking. It is Sri Nityananda Prabhu speaking through me, writing through my pen to extol the glories of his Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu descended to this world to glorify the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das Goswami tried in every possible way to remove himself from material entanglements and achieve the shelter of Lord Chaitanya's feet. It was not until he approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered at his lotus feet and served his devotees with great care and attention that he received that benediction. Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojana Acharya himself, Raghunath Das Goswami is the supreme most authority in our whole sampradaya, in all sampradayas, in the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami explains that Radha and Krishna has appeared in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you cannot approach the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna without surrendering to the teachings and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami, the Prayojana Acharya, said you cannot approach the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, without first getting the blessings and the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore he surrendered at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And what did Nityananda Prabhu do? Before giving him his blessings, Nityananda Prabhu ordered Raghunath,
seeing some
by performing that wonderful Chiradahi Utsav. There was a wonderful feast. And after satisfying all the devotees, Lord Nityananda Prabhu asked them all Vaishnavas, give your blessings to Raghunath Das. And at that time, Nityananda Prabhu personally awarded him that blessing. You will achieve the intimate loving service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soon. At the time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put an end to his earthly pastimes, he entered into the beautiful deity of Tota Gopinath. In the same way, sometime later, Nityananda Prabhu in Ekatraka entered into the beautiful form of Sri Bankei Rai and thus disappeared from this world. But Sri Nityananda Prabhu lives forever in the hearts of those devotees who sincerely remember him and call out his holy names. Sri Nityananda Prabhu has revealed the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has plundered the storehouse of love of God to distribute it freely to everyone. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the ocean of mercy in this age of Kali Yuga, who has come to give pardon and forgiveness to the Jagais and Madhais who have been addicted to all sinful activities, and giving them pure love of Krishna. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur prays, one cannot achieve the service of Radha Krishna without first surrendering to Lord Nityananda. And how do we surrender to Lord Nityananda, Prabhu? By serving his devotees. By living
lives of the servants of the servants of the servants, and always dancing and chanting Krishna's holy name. Nityananda Prabhu Ki. So this evening at 6 o'clock, we will begin the festival with bhajans and kirtans. And at 7 o'clock, there will be abhishek for Sri Sri Nitai Gaurachandra. And after the kirtan, there will be a narration of the beautiful story of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. Anyone who hears this story is forgiven of all sins and attains love of Krishna. If you hear sincerely, with a receptive heart. And then we will perform the glorious once a year Transcendental Maha Arti for Sri Nityananda Prabhu Trayodashi, where everyone can offer the greatest pleasure to Lord Nityananda Prabhu by joyfully chanting, dancing, and feasting.